Lie, 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 lie. This is the news according to me. Oh, the lies are just a-flowing. Just a-flowing from the lie factory on the hill. It never ceases to amaze me. We are being told so many things that are, let's just say that, you know, for some reason, I guess it's been known in the world of journalism that, by the way, I'm drinking. It's not so hot anymore. It was hot tea with honey in it because I already had a job this morning. I've been working this morning. What have you been doing? You all you people sitting there on your sofa listening to me.
No,
there's so much lies going on. I'm going to jump right into this because there's so much to talk about. And I probably will talk so fast that I'll do a 1 hour show in about 10 minutes. We have, a sponsor today. Our sponsor today is me. I'm sponsoring the show because I have no sponsor. That's because there's no commercials in this show. You get 1 hour or more sometimes less. So, an hour, give or take a half an hour of show. And all commercial free, except it's also commercial. And that's interesting. I'm wondering when this thing is put on Spotify. Apparently this thing goes out on Spotify. I don't know. I've never listened to it on Spotify. If it does, and you're listening to it on Spotify, and you can tell me if there's commercials that interrupt the show at all. Because if there are, by golly, they owe me some money. And I'm going to go after them with the full extent of my lawyers. All of them. I'm going to stick all my lawyers on them. Every lawyer I have on retainer is going to go after them for my money. My money. Well, of course, because I got to pay my lawyers. So, yeah. Now, it's interesting. It's interesting to see the culture that is in the white, that we are living in weird times, folks. This is weird. I don't know how many of y'all out there feel like something weird's going on out there. Yeah, there's something strange going on. It goes beyond surreal at this point. If you're really paying attention, this is not the country I grew up in. Now, there were a lot of nefarious things going on back in the day, back in the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s. Boy, I've lived a long time, haven't I? I digress. I'm going to move on before I cry. There's a whole lot of things going on, and it seems like the news cycle, you know, if one thing happened back in the day, back in the 70s or 80s, it was in the news cycle for, you know, a month or two. It was the big deal for a while. Now, don't get me wrong. There were a lot of things going on. We just didn't know about it. You know, even people like Walter Cronkite, who is an extreme leftist, some would say he's a communist. I don't know if he's still alive or not. I don't think he is. He was extreme left. And you would never know it because he knew he had to be careful how he presented the news. However, he was also careful about the words and the way he crafted things. Make no mistake, he was working on moving the country left. And by left, I mean, this is where This is where it gets a little tricky, because we have a the left and we have the right with regard to statesmen and constitutional. I've had Democrat friends who carried constitutions around with them. They knew the Constitution. They were true what I would call liberals. They were not Marxists. They understood the freedoms. They pushed freedom beyond the bounds of any kind of moral standards, in my opinion. Now, you know, and we can have that discussion as to whether how involved the government should be with regard to moral standards and how much morality plays a part in government. The right in the past has tended to be the high road, the moral standard, the religious right, you might say. And they've tried to impose the, you know, like the Ten Commandments or the Christian theology, tried to impose that or implant that or impress that upon government. Whether or not that's good or not, I don't know. In some ways, there are some things I think that do not belong in government. Even things from the church that do not belong in government. Marriage is one of those things, believe it or not. I don't think the government should have anything to do with marriage as a church institution. It used to be that being married was a benefit, and the government recognized it and encouraged it. It's not the case anymore. Maybe verbally they will say it's good, but they don't actually. When they're paying people to not get married, if you have children out of wedlock, you get more money from welfare. So they encourage people to not marry. That's why we have a lot of fatherless children running around, committing crimes. Inevitably, the percentage is incredibly high of children who commit heinous crimes. Like the one that just happened recently where these two young girls, I think they were just young teenagers. One was 13, the other was 15 or something like that. Carjacked a guy. My understanding is the guy ended up dying in this carjacking. Car flipped over. And, of course, she was all concerned about her cell phone being in the car. And we don't hear about it on the news. We don't hear about it anywhere. Because of the nature, it doesn't fit the narrative they want to portray. And they want to excuse these people for doing what they're doing. They're lashing out because it's the white man's fault. Okay, well, what is the white man supposed to do about it? How are we supposed to change that culture? Is being less white, is if we left the country, would that change everything? If all of us just got up and moved and left out and left the country, would all your problems go away? Because this culture of blaming and excusing yourself for your criminal activity is not going to work either. You know, okay, if it's the white man's fault, okay, let's go with that premise for a second. How do we fix it? Make the white man pay? I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. Sure, there's blame. Sure, the culture that was, you know, that raised up, that rose up out of the problems that were there, the things that happened 200 years ago, 150 years ago, all those things, you know, culminated into the oppression and the problems that are there now. But if you look at, just listen to any of people who will tell you the truth about statistics and what was going on back in the 50s and 60s and how certain communities were actually growing and rising up and overcoming the situation. Because they had leaders who were doing that. They were encouraging them to go the right direction. And now you've got leaders that just want to blame everybody else. That doesn't work. It doesn't get you anywhere. And it's easy for me to sit here and say, you need to be responsible for the things you do, the choices that you make. It's also easy for someone else to say, well, the choices that they make, they're made out of desperation because of the oppression that they're under. I get that. Look, I've been to countries where there's been great oppression, great depression, third world countries that are just under all kinds of struggles. And petty crime is a problem. It's the little crime, the little thievery here and the thievery there. It's a problem. Because people will do things out of desperation they wouldn't normally do otherwise. But people will turn to depravity if they don't have someone guiding them or some kind of guidance from somewhere. Well, I went down a hole that I wasn't expecting to go down here this morning. But it's just the societal issue, and I always come back to this at some point. One ethnic group needs to forgive the other. And the leaders of those communities need to start telling and explaining why forgiveness will bring about healing in our land. The accusations and the continued blame game it doesn't add up to anything good. The end result of that is just more division, more dissension, more enmity between ethnic groups. Now, I don't know that me just saying that is going to stop it either, but we've got to start somewhere. And Scripture is very clear. Ethnos will rise up against ethnos. People groups will rise up against people groups. There's no question about that. And it's at some point, but you know, as long as we are here, we need to try to overcome that. So, okay, I'll get off that little high horse for a moment. Maybe, I don't know. A couple minutes. Until the next show, I'll be back on it again. I like being up there in that high horse. Yeah, whatever that means. Like, it means that you're, yeah, so just my little soapbox, whatever. So we have these lies that are oozing and pouring out of the Capitol Hill. We have some on the right. We have a whole bunch on the left. Now, first of all, Joe Biden is now, let's jump right into COVID here for a moment. Because, COVID, it's COVID. After all. And where's my little, I think I have a thing here. Don't I have a thing? I have a thing somewhere. Yeah, here it is. This is it right here. Talk about COVID. You can tell I'm in the regular studio this morning. I'm in the main facility today and tomorrow. And then I'm back at, holy cow, that guy's getting loud. Wow. So the guy on the timpani really likes that timpani, doesn't he? He's got to make his, you know, it's not very often you get timpani solos. You get a couple of songs that have big timpani parts. And he definitely was playing that for all it's worth. So, where was I going with that? COVID. Now, Joe Biden has come out and... JoJo has come out and started to beg these governors and local leaders, business owners, mask up, mask up. We're going to save lives. So we're headed for doom and gloom again because he's saying that the disease is getting worse and not better. Unfortunately, and I'm just going to go here because it's the plain fact. I'm not going to try to draw any conclusions from this, even though it sounds like I am. I realize that. However, I am going to state some obvious facts. Not obvious facts. These are, I should say, they're covered up facts because they're not talking about this. They're just throwing numbers out there. Cases are back on the rise. The disease is getting worse. We have variants. Okay, let's talk about all those issues right now. As of yesterday, I don't know if the stats have changed or not in the last 24 to 48 hours. The last thing I heard was yesterday, and I'm not sure when this report came out. I think it was within the last couple of days that this data was compiled. The number one state in the country for infection rates was Michigan. Now, Michigan recently opened up about 3-4 weeks ago, went to half 50%, actually was the beginning of this month, so it was about 3 weeks ago. They opened up 50% capacity now, I think, in restaurants. Now, not all restaurants have opened up to 50% capacity. There are a lot of restaurants still not serving inside. There are a lot of drive-through restaurants in this country that do not have indoor seating. They are only carry-out, curbside, or drive-through. And there are some restaurants just choosing not to do that. I'm not sure even if Chick-fil-A in any state has indoor dining yet. They may in Florida or Texas, I don't know. But I don't know of any in any state any place I have been where there's a Chick-fil-A. Now I have not been to a couple in my local area. Actually, I've been more other places like other states. Let's just put it that way. The states that I routinely travel in. There are some restaurants that still have 50% capacity even when their states have opened up completely. Not required. Now, counties do have some, they still have authority with the health departments there. They can still do whatever, depending on the county infection rate. Some counties are stricter than others, and that's their business. That's fine. You can always move out of the county if you don't like it. But it's what's interesting about this, and this is what we're not being told. Now, there's a lot of factors here, and I don't want to draw the conclusion. However, it certainly looks like you could easily draw this conclusion. I'm saying it would probably be dangerous to do so because just drawing the conclusion based on statistics is not always the scientific method because there's no control in this mix. In other words, what I mean by control, there's no baseline. To call this scientific method would be incorrect. But the stats are certainly something that can't be ignored. And the stats are that in Texas, where they've completely opened up and reduced and completely eliminated the mask mandate, in Florida, where they have completely opened up, and there's been several states, South Dakota, another one, never closed, actually. South Dakota never really closed up. And there's a few other states that basically have had very lax restrictions and stuff like that. Now have comparatively in the nation, they are among the lowest in infection rates. They are among the lowest in hospitalizations. Now don't get me wrong, they're taking measures and they're doing things, but they're allowing commerce to continue to happen. They're taking precautions. They have recommendations for businesses and all kinds of things to keep people safe and keep people from getting sick, from keeping the spread down. There are states that still have extreme measures. They're still shut down in many areas, and even some cities are very much shut down. Those states with the most restrictions are the ones with the highest infection rates. Now, I still have a hypothesis and a theory, and that's all it is, about the whole mask thing. The N95 mask, as I understand it, will not stop the virus. It will restrict it to some degree. It will not stop the virus, as I understand it. However, it is the best sealing mask. Now, I wore an N95 when all this stuff was starting to happen initially. And I was trying to help. I was volunteering at a restaurant that a buddy of mine from high school owned. And wife was going through some problems. She needed some help with, you know, they were trying to keep the business afloat. She was had some medical issues. So they were having like a fundraiser type thing to try to raise some money to pay for her medical bills. And they pulled through. They made it through. They're still in business today. During that time, we did all this whole big carryout thing. And I mean, the community got so involved that the line was backed up for miles to buy food from they were not expecting. They had this little bitty kitchen. They were trying to pump out food, and it was ridiculous. Some people left the line and just gave them money. And it was, the outpouring was incredible. That's just the kind of community we have here. It's amazing. In the meantime, I wore this mask, and it was an N95. I wore it for about 3 to 4 hours that evening. I did not feel good after I got done. My throat and lungs did not feel good at all. Now we were walking. I was on my feet the whole time, and it was not a good feeling. Now this other theory I have about the mask is that most people, you know, they're wearing these little cloth masks, even the little what people call the surgical masks, the little ones, the little, you know, cloth mask things. They will stop when you talk, you spit. There's no way to get around that. Everybody has little splatters that come out of their mouth when they talk. And it will protect that splatter from going all over the place. However, that splatter stops in the mask. That moisture has to go somewhere. And there are things in the moisture. That's where the virus travels, by the way, is within, it's contained within that kind of moisture stuff. I think we need, instead of having a virologist or an epidemiologist talk about this, we need to have somebody who understands physics and hydrology. Is that what it's called? Hydraulics? Hydrology? I don't know. Something to that effect. Because when you breathe into a mask, you are now vaporizing more of those droplets. It's got to go somewhere. It's when you want to atomize something. Now you put a little thing across the front of it so it atomizes the fluid that you're pumping out of a hose or pumping out of whatever. I think we're creating little atomizers that are micro vaporizing our breath and everything that we breathe out. And in the process of doing that, we're creating larger clouds of potential infection. This is my theory. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not a virologist. I'm not a lawyer. I'm just a guy with a microphone that I see spit on every day. And I know if I breathe, it's going to create a larger crowd. See, and this is the way I know this. I wear glasses. And when I breathe through a mask, my glasses fog up. If I just breathe normally, my glasses don't fog up. So what is happening there? Even if I put my glasses right in front of my mouth, my glasses don't fog up. But if I wear a mask, my glasses fog up. Huh. I'm just going to leave that right there because I've spent way too much time on this already. And it's just all part of my theory. I'm probably totally wrong. And I'm happy to say if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Now, do I wear a mask? Yeah, I wear a mask. If the business requires me to wear a mask, I'll wear a mask. But I think we're going the wrong direction. And in fact, areas who have been wearing masks more, who are more strict about the masks, are having higher rates of infection. Why that is, I don't know. Is it because when people wear a mask, they're less likely to social distance? Is that causing it? And the social distance is actually more effective. Is it because we're just careless? I don't know. Is it because the mask needs to be washed more often? And we're not doing that, so now we're just creating more of a problem? Does it have anything to do with the mask at all? Would it be worse if we didn't wear a mask? That's what I hear a lot of times from some people. The mask controversy continues. Now, keep in mind, Joe is saying all these things. Oh, it's getting worse. You guys that, he's pleading with these states that the governors have told him not to wear a mask. It's getting worse. He's got this new thing now. Now, here's how they do this. He's, we've got a goal within the next 2 weeks to make sure that there's a inoculation center within 90% of the population, within 5 miles of 90% of the population. That's not very hard to do, folks. I would say we're probably already there. And here's the way they do this. They figure out what they can do, and they set that as a goal. We're on track to meet this goal. In 2 weeks, we'll have, vaccination centers within 5%, within 5 miles of 90% of the population. Well, let's put that out there as a goal, so that way we can say we achieved it. Well, first of all, Joe, when you took over 2 months ago, 3 months ago, how long has it been? Seems like forever. January 20th. Let's see, January, February, March. So we've gone through a little over 60 days with this guy. I will say with this administration. It's not him that I'm worried about. It's the fact that he's not there. There's nobody home. So you've had 60 days to make this better. Now, who are you going to blame now? Is this still Trump's fault? Are you still going to be blaming him? Is the disease racist by chance? That's what we've been hearing as well, that people are disproportionately being helped. I'll tell you what, some communities I go to, there are some minority communities who are not taking this very seriously. I don't know. I assume that's the white man's fault. Again, I assume. Everything's white man's fault. So I assume that's white man's fault. Because everything's racist now. I just saw this report this morning that the CEO of General Motors will not meet with, there's a couple of knuckleheads that don't advertise on BET and E or whatever it is, that the African-American, whatever it's called, news, they have their own broadcast networks. Because they're not allowed on the white man's network, so they have to have their own. And I don't know if you noticed or not, but they pretty much are taking over all that. Anyway, not that it matters. I don't care. But how many white guys do you see on the black entertainment television? Is it proportional? Not that it has to be, I really don't care. People are individuals. They need to be judged on the content of their character. This whole black and white thing is pathetic to me. It's absolutely sickening that everybody has to be divided up into these identity groups. That somehow if we have diversity, which is not a strength, by the way. Everybody says diversity is a strength. No, it is not. Having a common cause, a common vision, and a common goal, that brings unity. That brings strength. We can celebrate differences in culture. Of course, that's called cultural appropriation. Now, you can't do that. You can't go out. I can't go out and start a taco stand or have a burrito wagon because I'm culturally appropriating. I'm taking somebody else's job, which is absolutely asinine, stupid, ridiculous. Says who? Says the Marxist fascists. That's who. So we can celebrate the differences, and that's all great. That's all wonderful. But let's also celebrate the fact that we have a reason to come together. Now, the left and the right, like I was saying at the beginning of this whole thing, we have the Democrat Party and the Republican Party. The Democrat Party used to be just that we were trying to get to the same place. We just disagreed on how we were going to get there. Now, the Democrat Party is being overtaken, if it hasn't already been, I think it already has been, by a completely different governmental philosophy. This is more of a philosophy of Marxism, of communist-style Leninism almost, they're calling it socialism. It goes beyond that. When you start talking about universal basic income and some of the other issues that are coming up, this goes way further than what you think. I mean, the gun control, the voting, the centralized voting rules, all that stuff is, and speaking of which, they are really going off the rails, in my opinion. They are just off the rails with this whole, all the accusations that they're making about what the Georgia law, voting laws. They are flat out lying about this stuff. Now, I don't know, and Chris Wallace, just about the time that you think, okay, maybe he's trying to at least see a balanced view here, he comes out and makes some statements and argues with people with flat out lie. I don't think he's read this thing. It says very clearly that poll workers within a certain distance, the certified poll workers, can provide water to people standing in line.
Oh, these poor people are standing in line. You can't even give them water.
Well, first of all, folks, if you're going someplace and it's 90 degrees outside and you're going to be standing in line, take some water. What kind of babies are we? What kind of irresponsible individuals are we?
I'm just going to walk over there and stand there. I'm going to sweat to death. Oh, I'm standing in line. I can't vote because I'm going to pass out.
Oh, take an umbrella. Take a chair. People show up at Walmart all the time to buy the latest whatever it is on Black Friday or whatever. They line up to buy something or at a movie theater. They'll sit there for 3 days to get in to be the first one in to watch The Dark Knight, or whatever it is. I don't see anybody out there offering them water. They seem to have a way of preparing for themselves, bringing their tents along and their chairs and all their coolers full of stuff. They seem to do just fine with that stuff. But oh my goodness, when they show up to vote, they're clueless. Maybe they should stand in their own little special line. If you're that inept. Now, it was very clear that apparently amass part of the population. And I'm afraid that the left is going to use this in the future. When good old Joe promised everybody $2,000,
you're going to get checks, $2,000 checks right away. As soon as we get into office, those checks are going out.
That's all people cared about. They wanted their $2,000 check. So they voted that supposedly a lot of people voted based on that promise. And they were all upset about it when they didn't get it. What do you mean $1,400? I wanted $2,000. I already had that money spent. I already have my Xbox ordered. Because they wanted that $2,000. To me, isn't that kind of, what if Trump would have said that?
If you vote for me, I'll give you $2,000.
They would have screamed up one side and down the other saying he was buying people's votes, which is exactly what that is, folks. You're making people promises. Now, here's another little lie that's been flying around. Oh, by the way, the whole water thing? Yeah. A certified poll watchers can give people water. You can order pizza in line. The only thing you can't do is have people who are wearing propaganda, like Trump shirts or Biden shirts or vote Democrat or any kind of political stuff on your shirt. You can walk up and hand anybody some water if you want to. The bottle of water can't have a candidate or a political statement on it. Your t-shirt, your hat, your underwear cannot have any kind of political statement on it. In other words, they don't want people propagandizing as you're standing in line. I don't want that either. I don't want somebody walking up to me. I don't care which side of the party it is trying to convince me how I should vote. I don't want that to happen to anybody. Water or not. Now, somebody can just stand out there in the yard with a hose. Just, spray it on everybody if they want to. It's not illegal. As long as it's not coming out of a Biden hose. It amazes me that they're making that the big issue of the day. I guess it shouldn't amaze me that much, but it does. It still amazes me. Speaking of the border, apparently now, they've been telling us, we're turning a vast majority of people are being turned away from the border. Yes, of course they are. Oh, well, yes, of course. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because, the vast majority of people are being turned away from the border. Why are you laughing? A vast majority of people are being turned away from the border.
Yeah, that's not happening. Apparently, most of the people are getting in. And apparently, one of the hidden areas that they're not allowing the press to see has a huge hole for everybody to just walk in. They're literally escorting people into this country. And most of them, here's the other thing. Most of them are not being detained. Some of them are being given a court date. Many of them are not. Now, here's why this doesn't matter. This is why it doesn't matter. Everybody's enraged that they're not giving these people a court date to come back. Of course, 90% of them won't come back for a court date anyway. However, here's why they don't care whether there's a court date or not. They've got to get them all in this year. And they say within the next 7 months, we will probably see that this will not end for about 7 months. We're going to continue to see anywhere from 80,000 to 120,000 people a month come across the border. Okay, think about what that's going to do to the voting population. Now, they're talking about flying these people around to process them. What's going to happen then? They're going to turn them loose at the processing point. They're not even going to process them. Okay, they're just turning them loose and giving them transportation wherever they need to go. Actually, they're probably going to settle them in different areas, mostly red states. I guarantee you. This is their plan to turn states purple, at the very least, and blue if they can. This is a ready-made set of a voter base that they're going to put into place to make all this happen. How convenient. Why are they doing this, and how is this going to play out? I'll guarantee you. This is the next thing on the agenda. And this will probably take a little while. They have to time this just right. So you're not going to hear anything about this until they spring it on us, because they know this is very unpopular. It's going to be a very big issue, but they're going to wait for the right opportunity. And they can do it right now. They could do this very, very, very easily, especially if they get rid of the filibuster. This could all happen very quickly. And what is it I'm talking about? The A word, amnesty. We will also be lied to about those numbers as well. The number of people who show up for amnesty and to get citizenship will be lied about. We will see people coming out of the woodwork. You will see approximately, the high-end estimates are 31 million that are in the country that have either issues, who are here even on visas, that kind of thing, who are here legally on visas, work visas, whatever it is, who will they will get U.S. citizenship. If you count everybody up, that's here, that's able to do that. Now, if they usher in another 2 million people in the next 7 to 8 months, by the end of the year, who will help them with their voter base by the time they get to, and of course, that'll continue on into next year. But at some point, they're going to offer amnesty. My guess is, now they've got to time this just right. If they do it too late, people will be upset and remember it when it comes time to vote in November in the midterms. And they will get slaughtered. However, it may not matter if they get enough people in. I said, this is the teetering point that we're at. And this is the tipping point. We are at the tipping point right now. And with the momentum they have, I don't see any way this changes in the next 10 years. There would have to be a major change. I heard a guy, it's called a Wharf Report, I heard on YouTube the other day. He was all upset. And he said, at what point do we actually stand up to this? We just continue to roll over to this whole thing. And I've got to say, most Americans don't want the conflict. Even most patriots do not want the conflict. We want to go about we want to do our jobs. We want to have our businesses. We want to do our thing, be productive, have happy families, continue on with our rights the way they are, continue to grow the country. And we don't want to have to give up our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Let's put it all on the line. Because at that point, but you know what? It's not going to take a few groups here and a few groups there that are going to do it for us. It's going to require an entire nation of people who understand what's going on to rise up against this thing. And I'm not so sure. And here's the problem we run into. It almost would take a political leader to do it for us, to really rally the people and say, this is what we're going to have to do to take this country back. Now, unfortunately, when you do that, as we have seen, you will be labeled an insurrectionist. You will be, because it is, it's an insurrection. Even though it's not an insurrection, it's a defense. What we're seeing is an insurrection in slow motion, which is, whenever the left accuses you of something, you can pretty much bet that's what they're doing. Well, they were accusing everybody of an insurrection on January 6th, and that's exactly what happened, but it wasn't the way you thought. People who were trying to defend us from an insurrection were the ones who got arrested. Our founders were very clear. Just read some of their quotes. That's all I'm going to tell you. I'm not advocating. I'm not telling you what to do. And certainly not telling individuals that you need to go out and be a vigilante in this situation. But somehow, at some point, if our elected leaders are not going to live by their oath, which, you know, the oath keepers, they're even vilifying people who have sworn an oath and they're willing to uphold it. Yes, if you do that, then you're a racist. Because you made a vow to uphold and defend the Constitution. If you're not with us in destroying the Constitution, then you're a racist. Because the Constitution's racist. It did have some issues in there when it first was drawn up, but those issues were explained in the Federalist Papers, also the letters that were being written, you know, all the public known communication that was going on between the founders. It made it very clear as to what was going on. And yet you have scholars and people in academia now who make, they're just making crap up. Making up stories. And kids are gobbling it up, just like, oh, yeah, okay, that's the way it really happened. Oh, yeah, this is a racist nation. It's a racist country. The white men are all bad. That's no worse than saying the black man's all bad. There's no better than saying, no worse. I don't know. For better or worse. It's all that, anything like that is heinous. It's disgusting. So, as we go about our daily lives, you know, go back through all this stuff. When we look forward into into the abyss, as we look off the cliff into the abyss in which we're about to descend. Oh my goodness gracious! Yeah. There is hope in the middle of all this. And the one thing. That could turn this all around is a true, not a phony, fake, hypno-pop revival, but a real revival where we have the real power of the Holy Spirit that comes, you know, just moves on the hearts of people. And when that happens, if you look at every opportunity that people in Scripture had to, when they faced God, first thing they realized was that they were unclean. You know, these were the giants of the Bible. The people who walked around and they didn't really touch the ground because they were so holy. Stood before God and they realized how unclean they really were. We have no idea the holiness of God. Our minds cannot even imagine it. If we have that kind of outpouring, that brings about such a self-awareness, that we are then able to see our brother and our sister in a different light. And we can start to forgive others for sins that have been committed against us. Maybe there will be hope for our nation at that point. But at this moment in time, the ramping up of the rhetoric the rate at which it is coming at us, which is only going to get faster as, you know, we get 5G, it's going to be really fast. It's going to be very difficult for the voices of those who are standing against this stuff to be heard. Who would have thought this, that, you know, so quickly that things would change? Now, I try to stay away from prognosticating, what do you call it, just like forecasting the future. I try to stay away from that. But I really do believe there are some things coming up in the near future, kind of the next thing that is going to catch everyone off guard. And I might talk about that this afternoon's show. This afternoon's show will be a little bit later than what I would like for it to be. In fact, this one is later than I thought it would be. It's almost 11 o'clock now on Monday. Or Tuesday. This is Tuesday. My Monday. It's Tuesday, March 30th. And so this afternoon's show will probably be a little bit later. By the time this actually gets uploaded, as slow as my internet is right now, it'll probably take another hour. But this afternoon's show will be probably after 4 o'clock that I'll be able to start recording Eastern Standard Time. So if you want to call in or text in at that time. But I want to share a little bit more about what I think, how I see some things unfolding. And the next big surprise that people are unaware of. If I can pull all that together, I'm not going to guarantee anything, but I'm going to try to put all that together for the show this afternoon and maybe talk about that a little bit. But other than that, we'll talk about today's news and everything else that's going on. And maybe discuss a few other things about the border again and where we're at with the Chauvin trial, the guy that the police officer that's going through trial right now with everything that's happening, the protests that are already starting to happen. I believe they are noticing because of the opening statements. I think people are starting to realize how this could possibly go. And the media has done a terrible job of preparing people for the potential. Going for second and third degree murder is, in my opinion, probably an overreach. And I think that they've only hurt themselves. The media has now set this up to the point where people have expectations. They have not left this guy innocent until proven guilty. And the definitions of which they are trying to reach certain things. And the offense on this thing, the prosecution, already has disturbed me because they're being very untruthful and disingenuous in their presentation. And that bothers me. Because again, this is all about a show. And in the public's eye, they've already decided who's guilty and who's not. And by golly, we better get justice. And they have elevated George Floyd to the point of being a savior. And that's a problem too. So this guy needs to have a fair trial. George Floyd should not be dead. But this individual should not, two wrongs don't make a right. And that's, you know, the nature of people and the way we are. I'm concerned about the societal issue here that we have. Not that my concern is going to change anything. But we as a nation need to continue to pray that we would wake up to what's happening to us and how we're being manipulated. So I'm going to leave you with that this morning. And I've got work to do. Got a lot of stuff to get done. I've got a dog that apparently has some kind of diarrhea or something. I'm not sure what's going on with him. So I'm going to deal with that. I'll leave you with that thought. And in the meantime, continue to pray for the country. And keep your eye, again, on Iowa, the voting thing that's going on there, the election issue, overturn, the voting law in Georgia, things that are being said, the border, of course, the $3 trillion stimulus package that's coming up, as well as the, what else is going on out there? COVID, of course, all the rhetoric there. That's an ongoing, never-ending thing. So, have a great day, everybody. Take care.